the morning to you, Cisa. You smoothie, me ice cold pizza. Cafe ole, latte da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. Hits me like a wake up bomb. Cause we both know that it's mercy flows in the morning.
Serious.
Good morning, Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Taylon. Father God, your word says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. This morning, in the name of Jesus, we bind, rebuke, destroy the powers, the principalities, and the forces of evil this morning. And we say to evil, you will not, you cannot come nigh our dwelling. Because the Bible says, what God hath blessed, no man can curse. I'm going to repeat that. What God has blessed, no man can curse. Now, I've been telling you all that just how I'm looking at this blog talk here, and it's not trying to cooperate with me. So we're just going to see what's going to happen. I may just have to, can you hear me on the blog talk? Can somebody text me and let me know that you can hear me on the blog talk? The devil is a liar this morning, and it always will be. So I may have to, can you hear me? Can you text me on the blog talk? Yes, you can. Okay. Spreaker is good. The blog talk is good. I seem to have a problem trying to, good morning. Praise God. Natasha, I need you to hang up and dial back in because I can't connect you for some reason. But brothers and sisters, I've been telling you that the Lord has me on a, has the tagline, really, on a whole new level. I'm so glad. Because that means that God is honoring this ministry. And we need that. I need that. Because, you know, without God, this is nothing. It can go nowhere and it could benefit or profit no one. So I called Natasha yesterday. Because God had given her, now this is just too crazy, a prophetic word the day before. And then I came back the next day, and that's exactly what he had me teach on. But I had no communication with her. So I had no way of knowing that we were on. I pretty much know which headliners I'm on one accord with, and I pretty much know the ones that I'm not on one accord with, and I pretty much know what direction the opposition is coming from, because God says he will withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly before him. So, that being the case, God will tell you who's with you, who's for you, who's against you, and who is in his will and who isn't. With regard to you, I'm not talking about, overall. But I'm going to repeat that again. Well, God has blessed no man, woman, devil, demon, witch. Nothing can curse it. It just can't happen. Sometimes, though, we allow things to get in the way. Let me see now. I got you, Natasha. I got you. So this morning, the message is coming from Natasha. I have expressed to you, Ted Liners, to be ready, because she had no idea I was calling her up and telling her yesterday, be ready for this morning. So, Minister Natasha, give us what the Lord has for us this morning.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Lord Jesus, and good morning, Holy Spirit. Father, just fill me with your spirit and give me the wisdom from heaven to deliver this word to your people in Jesus' mighty name. I would say about 3 days ago, I was in a place of, for lack of a better word, there was an inner conflict going on. And in that moment, throughout my journey, the Lord has taught me to be still. Don't do nothing. Just be still until you hear from me. And I end up recording what was going on, like that, the contemplation in the mind that happens when you are battling, in that moment of what God is telling you to do and what the enemy is trying to get you involved in. And so I had to go back to the recording after Dr. Shepherd called me, and I wrote down some of the things that I said. So I said, pressure bust pipes. That's what they say in the world. They say pressure bust pipes. But what I say is that pressure exposes hearts. And so what was happening is that I noticed in the last couple of years, a lot of relationships that I had, when the pressure came, the heart was exposed. Their motives were exposed. So you're talking about relationships where you just meet someone and then you go, okay, this is not working out. But I was on a level where these were relationships that were built over 20 years, 50 years, I'm not 50 years old, but you know what I'm saying? There was a lot of time and effort built into those relationships. These are people that I felt were my sisters and my friends. And I said, Lord, how do I deal with this? The trials that were coming to me right now, what do I do? What do I do with this? And like I said, I knew to be still. I knew to forgive. And I had no regrets, because I said, Lord, if I had to do it all over again, I knew that I would do it the same, because I was every behavior, every action was done out of a pure heart for me. So the Holy Spirit said, well, this is the two for one deal. Now, I know I talked about the book, and this was some of the things that I wrote in the book. A two for one deal was when the enemy was already after someone, and then they come to you and you get offended, and that offense takes you in with them. So I knew to pull back. But I kept asking the Lord, what do I do with this form? See, it's taking form. That offense is right in the room. What do I do with it? What do you do with a person when the mask comes off And the Holy Spirit said, trust me. I need you to trust me. So then he took me to the scripture. He said, I want you to go back to the book. And I'm blessed. When the Lord teaches you something, it may, it's like he'll show you something. Again, like 7 years ago is when the information came. But I did not get the full revelation of it. So until yesterday. So anyway, he took me back to the book. And the intro of my book. Before I go there, let me say this one. So as I'm still in my closet, spending time with the Lord, and I'm having this conversation with the Lord. And when he says, trust me, immediately my focus switched from the situation, the betrayal, the hurt, the emotional pain to God. And when my focus switched, I heard the Holy Spirit say, they're after your virtue. They're after your, and I said on the video, I said, the devil trying to steal my virtue. The devil trying to steal. I said, I need to go spend time with the Lord so he can pour into me because I'm going to get my virtue back. So that whole night, that was my prayer. I sang, I worshiped, and I said, Lord, I want, and it was a battle. It was such a battle because I knew there was something in the way. It was something in the way. So I kept pushing and pushing and praying, and Lord, help me, Lord, please, I need you. Help me with this. And so he took me back to the book. And in the intro of the book, I write, the problem we face is that we are not spiritually, mentally, and emotionally equipped for such a time as this. Many of us have an intellectual understanding of what it is to be compassionate, caring, and God-fearing people. Others have a distorted understanding of the primary virtues and moral codes of humanity. And some of us, sad to say, are spiritually ignorant of the signs of the times in which we live in. Our lack of divine power has made us doormats and food for snakes, the gullible and naive ones. So that took me to the scripture, 2 Timothy, where he says, in the last days, and these are perilous times, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of traitors, headstrong, hasty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And then here's where the Holy Spirit wanted me to go back and pay attention to something that I never really paid attention to before. When he lists all of those characteristics of these such people, there is a dash that comes by. So he says, here's all of the characteristics, how we describe them. And there's a dash that says, having a form of godliness. And I said, whoa. Wait a minute. I missed that. Because what people seem to, I would say, is there's a misconception. Now, the book that I wrote is how the Lord delivered me from an emotionally abusive marriage. And in that deliverance, how he healed me emotionally, and he made me whole through his peace, through his love, through his joy. And so I had to take my eyes off of man. But what happened over time is that everyone who recognized, who saw me go through the marriage and they understood the details of what happened, they all had one thing to say. They would say, well, that's because you were what was the word they would use? They would say, that's because you were naive. You were insecure. Insecurity was something that was used a lot to describe who I was, but I was never insecure. And I wrestled with that. I said, Lord, I've never been insecure. I was a magnum cum laude. I graduated magnum cum laude. And I'm not saying this in an arrogant way. I'm still humble in that. But I knew that I'd never been insecure. So I kept saying, Lord, what is it? He said, they're after your virtue. They were after your virtue, see, and they were after your goodness. They were after your light. They was after your eagerness to please and be there for someone else. They were after your kindness. Mm-hmm. And they used it. It was used for food. It was used as food for snakes.
Mm.
And over time, whew, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Over time, you're talking about from a young girl, I'm 45 years old, over time, every one of those relationships that poured out of my virtue, that was there just to the vampires, vampires. Yeah. Oh, if I connect with her, if I connect with her, I'm guaranteed to have a friend. I'm guaranteed to have kindness. I'm guaranteed that she'll be there for me.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't pour back into you. So the Holy Spirit took me back to the Samaritan woman. Hallelujah. She took me back to the Samaritan woman, a story that he has worked with me on for a couple of years. And I remember what she says. You know, Jesus said, bring me your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, you're right when you say that. You have five husbands, and the one you're with now is not your husband. It's not your husband. And I said to myself, Lord, what if she didn't meet Jesus at that well? See, the Samaritan woman, she was searching for something. She was searching for love. She was searching for peace in every last one of those marriages. See, I was that young girl that people said, you grow up, you get married, you have children, you get the white picket fence, and that was life. That was the abundant life. But I'm here to say that if it's not connected to the source, to the well that never runs dry, it is not the abundant life. It is a setup. It's a setup from Satan. It is a setup from Satan. These are the men who worm their ways into gullible women's houses and take advantage of them. That's loaded down in sin. Easily swayed. I was easily swayed by the idea, the fantasy of this life. And I'm not preaching against marriage to someone who is God-fearing, who knows the difference. And this is where the Holy Spirit took me the next day, which is right before I heard, right before the prayer on yesterday that you did, Dr. Erica.
Mm-hmm.
He took me back. He said, read it again. So this time I went from 2 Timothy 2 and 3. What he's doing is he starts to break down these different categories in the body. He says there are some for special use. The ones that are special for special use, they are the ones who have given themselves over to me for a special use. They're useful to the master. They pursue righteousness, peace, and joy. That's their pursuit. I can use them because under pressure, I know that they're going to do what I ask them to do because their desire is from a pure heart. See, I was in that category. Jesus, I am in that category. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Then you have the ones in another category where, you know, they can be used some of the time. You know, they're good-hearted people, but they haven't increased in their faith. They still need to add to their faith a knowledge of truth. You know, there's the ones who say, well, you know, I'm still having a problem with my brother or my sister because they haven't come to the knowledge of truth that you need to forgive 7 times 70. They haven't come to that knowledge yet, but God is working on them, so we need to deal with them gently. And see, what I did not know is that not everybody were in that category. There is a category that they are filled with envy, filled with malice. They have a deprived or depraved mind. And because I wasn't raised that way, nobody ever taught me. See, I had not come to that knowledge myself. Just like the Samaritan woman who said, I went through this man and this man and this marriage and this marriage. And she was somewhere, you know, she had to be somewhere praying because Jesus met her.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus met her at the well. This is a woman who somewhere in her heart, in the deep parts of her heart, she was saying, I can't do this no more. And I remember those moments of emptiness. I remember those moments of walking on eggshells because I didn't know what to say, because I didn't want to get into a fight today. I didn't want to go through the emotional, where they close you out. They don't want to talk to you. All the things that emotional abusive people do, manipulative people do, controlling, intimidating people do. I didn't want to go through that because I was nice, because I wanted to be kind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm called to be kind, but I need to do it in spirit and in truth, not because of the person in front of me. It's between me and God. And when I realized that, that's when the book came. This is between me and God. But at the point of, when I got to this level of understanding, what I did not know is that the devil stole my virtue. he stole my virtue. See, all of those things leave marks. Everybody who poured, who took from me, it left some, it took from me. And I needed to have those things back. So I thank God for the prayer on yesterday. So now when situations happen, because of the beat down, because of the fight, because of the battle, because of the battle, I can see you coming. But I had to still wrestle on the inside with this incident that happened a couple of days ago. I had to still wrestle on the inside. I said, why is this so? See, I never even thought twice about being kind. It was who I was. I never thought twice about. I had this lady, she would say to me all the time, watch your zeal. Watch your zeal. Because if you told me that God was in it, I was there. hey, what do you need me to do? You know? But that was the virtue. That was the good part of me. And because people were taking advantage of it, I had to think twice about it. And over time, the enemy wants to steal that. What's the point in doing it at all? The last time you did it, somebody took advantage of you. The last time you forgave, they did it again. And then, oh, like I said, over time, it becomes this, I'm here, but I'm not here. I'm not worshiping God in spirit and in truth. I know what's right, but can I really do it? So I had to go back, and then I had to do a breakdown of the word gullible. Because I said, Lord, I mean, you gave it to me, so I need to be real and say to myself, hey, am I that gullible woman? Am I the silly woman in this book, in this chapter? And when I looked up the definition, words that came up was trustful. Trustful, and I had to write it down. But trustful was one of them. I was a trustful person. But guess what? That is also a characteristic of someone who has virtue.
Mm-hmm.
goodness, righteousness, integrity, trustworthy, sincerity. These are all adjectives that that has described me for most of my life. And the devil was trying to steal that. Because the devil see your light. He's not after your insecurity. He's not after, this is a misconception. Insecurity and low self-esteem is the byproduct of being in that kind of environment. But the environment of the kingdom of God is love, peace, and joy. What we think we're looking for when we get into some of these relationships and marriages, no one can give it to you. It comes from being in the presence of God. And we hope and we pray that we connect with people who are the same, so that when you're down, they can say, hey, let's pray together. Let's break this, just like what happened yesterday. Because I had been praying, Lord, help me. I don't want to get hard. I don't want to be callous.
Nope.
I don't want to give up what you gave me because of somebody out there that's going to take advantage of it. What I need is wisdom. And what the Holy Spirit told me yesterday, he said, I said, watch and pray. I said, watch and pray. Are you watching? Are you watching? See, I need you to pay attention to those subtle shifts. See, I always saw the subtle shifts because, you know, the Lord gave me that gift of discernment. I always saw those subtle shifts, but I allowed myself to override them. I allowed my desire to be a people pleaser to override the subtle shifts that the Holy Spirit was saying, back up, avoid such people. I allowed myself to override the Holy Spirit's guidance in those situations because I wanted to be the one to help this person. And the Holy Spirit was saying they don't need help. They're trying to steal your virtue. They're trying to steal your love, your kindness, your goodness. They're trying to steal it.
Yep.
So When Sister Erica came on yesterday, and you start to pray, when I got out of my closet, it was like everybody I talked to yesterday, I think I was either praying with them, singing songs. I said, wow, wow, wow. Where have you been, Tasha? Where have you been? Wow. So the devil is trying to steal your virtue. And we're called to be forgiving. We're called to be kind. We're called to be there for the one who is lost and broken. So we know, you know, Sister Erica, you talk about this a lot. In deliverance ministry, you have to look, it's almost like you have to see the goodness of person in a person. You have to see what God's plan was. Plan
yeah.
for good, not for evil.
Yeah.
But you also have to be wise.
Yes.
You also have to know when to pull back. I used a lot of energy on people who had no intentions on being free.
Absolutely. Well,
none.
Jesus.
None. And I didn't have the tools to say no without feeling guilty. Without feeling like, well, you know, I let my friend down. But they really wasn't my friend. And how do you do this without being callous, without being cold, without having the devil steal you, make you go into the same spot that they was? Because believe it or not, they got there for a reason too.
Mm-hmm.
They grew cold, you know, and that is where, again, where the book took me is that in every incident, because I was doing what God wanted me to do, even though I got hurt sometimes, he protected me.
Yep.
In my blindness, he was protecting me because I didn't see. So I wasn't able to get callous. When people would say, well, you didn't see that coming? No. No, I was just being lovely. I was just being friendly. You know, it's like the, you know how people, they have people that sit on the corners, they're homeless, and they're trying to get money and stuff, and people will say, don't give them money. They're not going to use it for food. They're going to go and drink. Well, once you give them money, you don't know what they do with it. That's on them. So when I was being kind to people, I didn't know what they were doing at that time. But it also saved me. It saved me from a lot of things. So I'm at a loss for words.
No, you're not.
Because I'm in such joy, you know.
Yeah.
Thank you for correcting me, but I know what you mean. I'm in so much joy because he is exposing. What is happening is he's exposing the people around me that have been those vampires trying to steal from me. And I didn't even know it. But I thank him for the peace. This is the peace that surpasses all understanding, when you can look the enemy in his eyes and say, I forgive you.
Yeah.
I forgive you. When you can look a friend who has betrayed you and say, I forgive you, and mean it. Not just intellectually, I really forgive you. And I'm sorry that whatever has stolen your opportunity to be real in this moment. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, man. Thank you, Lord. 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 It's time to wake up. It's time for a lot of us to wake up. It's time for a lot of us to wake up. He woke me up from a fog. He restored my soul.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. A couple of weeks ago, you had mentioned the soul, how somebody was, I think it was the day that you were praying for Nancy, you had mentioned how somebody was trying to swap their wife with somebody else's, their wife's virtue with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, you actually said that the wife's, yeah, I think you did say that, the wife virtue with someone else. So that was another thing that had kept coming to me. I said, wait a minute. When the separation happened, my ex had started to see someone else. And last year, we actually had a conversation because they have two children now by him. And they were trying to connect with me about the children. Well, the children need to grow up together and know each other, and on and on and on. But one of the things that they kept saying is that I keep telling him I'm not you. I'm not you. I'm not you. And I said, Jesus. 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 Again, Sister Erica, I just thank you for being obedient on yesterday, because I couldn't see. I didn't know how God was going to deliver me for that, but I was praying and I was searching for the answers, and He gave it on yesterday. He gave it on yesterday.
I think it's called the goodness of God. What do you think?
The goodness of God. Yes, ma'am.
I think that's God's virtue, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he gave us his virtue, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And Satan hates us for it. It's simple. And he can't create anything, so all he can do is steal.
Yeah.
That's all he can do. And he's so subtle. The scripture says he's subtle. He's not going to come out and do little by little by little by little. How do you eat an elephant? One spoon at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what he does it. Been there, done that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I think God set you up this morning, okay, because there's something that I need to tell the deadline. And I have been asking God, how do I do this? But you set me up. He used you to set me up, okay? I love Jesus. I love the way he does things. So I might as well tell you now, before you read the newspaper and get the wrong impression, there's a newspaper article. I don't know if it's hit your area yet, but it says the Chattanooga Free Press newspaper came over to the oil. I don't know how many of you heard it already, but you're going to hear it from me if you didn't hear it, if you haven't read it, or you can look it up. The Chattanooga Free Press newspaper came over to the oil, and they did a story on Jerry and Johnny with the oil. When the writer got back to the newspaper, the editor said, "How can you write this article and print?" This is the faith editor. "How can you write an article and print it without having the proof?" So they came back. They printed the story, and the next day somebody sent a tip to the newspaper. Well, the newspaper did an undercover newspaper thing, and they came back. They got another vial of the oil, and the tip that came to the newspaper was that the guy, Jerry, was buying mineral oil at the tractor supply store. And they took it over to the University of Tennessee labs, and the oil in the vial was an exact match of the mineral oil that was sold at the tractor store. So I asked God about it, and God said, because they said that the oil ran out on January the 10th, that the Bible stopped producing the oil. What happened, I'm sure nobody is telling just yet, but I'm sure that the original oil was absolutely authentic. And I believe that they ran out, that the one person whose Bible it is ran out. He says he didn't. He says, well, you know, the newspaper could lie and the tractor supply people could lie. But when they ran the analysis and the oil in the vial was an almost exact match, they said, to the oil and the properties that sold at the tractor supply store, you know, that's not likely to be a lie or a mistake. I believe what happened is the oil ran out. And Jerry, if you go to Flowing Oil, their explanation is that none of them knew anything about it, and they didn't. The only person who knew was Jerry, and so they canceled all their next meetings, and he still won't admit the sin. Mm. So I'm sure it's going to really kind of blow up, but it has caused a lot of heartache. It has caused a lot of people that believe not to believe, I mean, to just go crazy. But when I asked God about it, he said, I talked to somebody on the team, and they couldn't seem to grasp the sin. I said, it's sin. I said, it's sin. I said, it's sin against God, and it's sin against the people of God. I said, but nevertheless, if he would just come to the people and say, I sinned, forgive me. When the oil ran out, and see, this can happen. I mean, when greed comes in, when pride comes in, and I don't know the whole story. I don't know, but I know this. God used the oil to get me here under this open heaven. Then suppose there's another church, I mean, the oil dried up in the Bible, but it supposedly the praise and worship team went to another church and the oil manifested all over the guitar and the Bible, and I saw it. You can go to I'll try to send Jessica the other article. But this is what I want to say. God had me restore the virtue. He says out of the mouth of one or two witnesses. But you gotta understand, I learned something a long time ago. The Apostle Paul said, I never build on another man's foundation. Okay? So build on anybody's foundation but Christ. And so when they told me this, and a week earlier to me finding this out, this is what was said to me. I don't have a real heart for deliverance ministry anyway. I never mentioned it to anybody. I kept it to myself. So I'm saying to myself, if you would have had a little bit more belief in deliverance ministry, all this could have been avoided.
Mm-hmm.
It all could have been avoided. Because every day when we come on this headline, do you know we're coming against sin? We're coming against the sinful works of the devil. So when it was said to me, but they said, but not you, Erica, not you. I'm not talking about you. Remember, if you go back, I told you a couple weeks ago, they said, not you, Erica. But I said, yeah, it was me too. It was deliberately said to what? Try to steal my virtue. But it didn't.
Yeah.
It didn't. Because you see, man didn't call me. Man didn't anoint me. Man didn't make me. Man can't break me.
Mm-hmm.
Brothers and sisters, and this is why I tell you, your relationship has got to be built between, and you said it this morning, Natasha, me and God. Me and God, you and God. I love the oil, but I would go over there to the oil and sit in the back of the church. I sit almost on the last pew in the back. I would not get up. I wouldn't pray for anybody or anything. You know why? Because I did not want, I have a very aggressive personality. And I think that's from being, I think that's from being in the army. Okay? I command troops. I still do. So I know that people seem to be intimidated by me. And it's not me, that's the devil. I want to stop them from being delivered. So I think, yeah, Deborah Adams said the oil is flowing in Dalton. It started with Susan. God will move it somewhere else. And that's exactly what he did. That's exactly what he did. You see, the oil started coming out the walls of grace over there. But right now, this is what I have to do. This is what I suggested that they do. Psalm 51 says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Brothers and sisters, I wanted to hear what the Lord had given Natasha. I wanted you to hear it, because this is not the end. The Bible says that the times are going to wax worse and worse. Every church that the oil went to visit, because nobody knows when the Bible stopped flowing oil. Nobody knows who got the mineral oil. But even mineral oil, if it's blessed, is just a point of contact. It's just a point of contact. A point of contact for your faith, brothers and sisters. I say over and over and over, and you've heard me say a million times, put not your trust in the arm of flesh. Flesh will let you down. Flesh will trick you. But the Holy Spirit is the bearer. The Holy Spirit is truth, brothers and sisters. And then the Bible says, I desire truth in the inward parts. So as the tagline, I feel like it's my responsibility. You see, Marcia had asked me to send her some oil. And I told her, I said, I texted her back. I said, they said that the oil is dried up, and they're not giving out oil. Well, go read it for yourself. Let the Holy Spirit tell you. Jerry did not tell me that the oil ran out and he did that to because of pride and ego. But the Lord told me that. The Lord told me that, brothers and sisters. But this is what I want to tell you this morning. We're ahead of it. We're on top of it. But Natasha, I want you to cast out all spirits of defilement, bind the thief and cast them out, all spirits of deception and bewitchment.
Okay. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I bind up every spirit of defilement, every spirit of wickedness, that spirit of destruction, that spirit of intimidation, that spirit of control, out in Jesus' name. Get out, out, out of the mind, out of the emotions, in Jesus' mighty name. Every voice that is not of God, that is not of the Holy Spirit, I demand you to get out of their mind, out of their emotions. That voice that says you are not anything, you will not make it without me, I demand you to leave in the mighty name of Jesus.
Get out
in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name.
Doubt and unbelief. Go in the name of Jesus. Get out this morning.
In the name of Jesus.
Go in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
All spirits of spiritual defilement, go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of deception, that's deception, go in the name of Jesus. I bind the works of Satan according to 1 John 3 and 8. Go ahead and cast it out, Natasha. The works of Satan.
The works of Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Go in Jesus' mighty name. Get out. Get out. Get out every trick.
Out.
Out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Every trick of the enemy, every strategy that's been plotted against you, in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. I sprinkle and apply the blood of Jesus against you. The blood of Jesus is against you. The blood of Jesus is against you in the name of Jesus. Loose her and let it go. In the name of Jesus.
Up and out.
In the name of Jesus.
Up and out. Go! Up and out.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Every lie that's been spoken against you in the name of Jesus. Go! Get out. 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 Out.
Go.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
We break.
In the name of Jesus.
Every ungodly cord. Every ungodly binding. Go. In the name of Jesus. We break your power. Every ungodly chain.
Yes.
Fall off.
In the name of Jesus.
Fall off. Go. Right now.
In the name of Jesus.
We destroy all transference of spirits through lying and deceit. Go! In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Right now.
All unholy agreements in the name of Jesus, known and unknown, we bind you in the name of Jesus. Go! Get out. Get out. In the name of Jesus.
Up and out. Up and out. Go. All the way out. All the way out. Up and out. Up and out. You see, the Bible says he's more subtle. Satan. I'm talking about Satan. He's more subtle than you. any beast of the field, that he was more subtle. So this is what I want you to make sure you don't do. I do not want you to judge. We don't know. But then the Bible says, judge ye with righteous judgment. Judge your own, judgment with this. I don't know. I don't know. I've been so busy building this tagline, building it. And I mean, it has been built fast. We went through one room in the house where the fireplace was, to an office downtown, to a big church. And I want you to pray for the people coming here today from Illinois, from Chicago, that they will go home free, just like Nancy did. So even in the midst of all that, that's why I know that it hasn't affected this ministry. And it hasn't affected the ministry of deliverance. Because deliverance is the, it's the secret weapon of God. and I wouldn't be too quick to talk bad about it either. I wouldn't be too quick to deny it. I wouldn't be too quick to do that anymore. It's not a good thing. Because when you deny deliverance, you deny the power of God. You deny the word of God when you deny this deliverance ministry. But you know what God calls us to do? To forgive. Mm-hmm. To forgive.
Because we all make mistakes sometimes, and we all step across that line. But nothing sweeter than the day we find.
It's hanging over him like the clouds of Seattle. It raining on his swag, falling deeper in the saddle. It's written on his face, he don't have to speak a sound. Somebody call the 5-0, we got a man down. Now you can go and play it like you're all rock and roll, but guilt does a job on each and every man's soul. And when your head hits the pillow at the nightfall, you can bet your life that it's gonna be a fight, y'all. Cause we all make mistakes sometimes, and we've all stepped across that line. But nothing sweeter than the day we find forgiveness, forgiveness. And we all stumble and we fall, bridges burn in the heat of it all. But nothing sweeter than the day we call out for forgiveness. We all need, we all need, we all need forgiveness. We all need, we all need.
Mr. Lecrae, my mama told me what I would be in for if I kept all this anger inside of me pent up. My heart been broken, my wounds been open, and I don't know if I can hear, I'm sorry being spoken. But those forgiven much should be quicker to give it. And God forgave me for it all, Jesus left forgiveness. So when the stones fly and they aim at you, just say forgive them, Father, they know not what they do.
Now you can go and play it like you're all rock and roll, but guilt does a job on each and every man's soul. And when your head is the pillow at the nightfall, you can bet your life that it's gonna be a fight, y'all.
Cause we all make mistakes sometimes, and we've all stepped across that line. But nothing sweeter than the day we find forgiveness, forgiveness. And we all stumble and we fall, bridges burn in the heat of it all. But nothing sweeter than the day, sweeter than the day we call out for forgiveness.
You know we need that. You know we need that. You know we need that.
Forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness.
'Cause we all make that new Kiki exclusive, y'all. Hot fire.
Let's go.
I did it all for the first time. Made a mistake, but I earned mine. I broke it all at one time. Well, I did it on my way. Fixed it on the front line. I'm over the pain.
Began to hate myself. I started to think
that I would never see today. But then he showed me who he is, and now I can say to forgive the unforgivable.
How do I know?
'Cause I'm standing here to tell you in this moment.
I know it sounds crazy,
but that's the way that he loves you and me.
Of your book and about when it's going to be coming out?
Yes, ma'am. The name of my book is Living in Crazy Peace, The Stepping Stones to Emotional Healing and Wholeness.
I put it in the chat room.
Living in Crazy Peace, Stones to Emotional Healing and Wholeness.
And post it in the chat room.
Yes, ma'am.
And
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
It's being formatted right now for publishing, and the deadline is the 21st. So by next month, it should be ready to go.
Praise God. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Praise God. Brothers and sisters, for the record, I forgive the team of Flowing Oil. Yes, it made me cry. It hit me smack dab in my heart. But I forgive Jerry. God knows I do. And I ask God, let it be a blessing somehow. Turn this around. He can do that. Like that song says, his love is deep enough. His love is deep enough. So, we got to move on. We have to move on. And the one thing, you know, we all but flesh. And we all subject to sin. And we want to not let another wounded soldier die. And we pray that he'll have the strength to tell the truth, whatever the truth is, whatever. Because, you know, God loves us with an everlasting love. So much so that he gave me that about, you know, our virtue. And I began to understand, think about this. One touch from Jesus imparts all that into us. One touch. One touch. Be it physical, be it spiritual, be it through the word. One touch from Jesus imparts all of that. And the enemy can't have that. And so he doesn't want you to have it. Virtue, a gift from God. His character, his nature. And you know when he first gave it to the world? In Genesis 1. When he formed Adam from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the devil been mad ever since. Mad ever since. Because he was created celestial. We were created in the image and likeness of Almighty God. Not only did he create us in his image, when we crossed that bridge, which is Jesus, back to him, he comes back and fills us with his own Holy Spirit, refreshes us, makes us come alive from death to life. And then we got to fight these demons every day who had one purpose, to steal a bit of that, because they know. How great it is. How good it is. I think the scripture says, oh, how good and how pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. And you know that pressure you talked about, Natasha? That pressure.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
I think Hawk Nelson got a song.
much better.
Shepherd, Jesus Believers Church, home of the 10 Line Ministry, coming to you from Dalton, Georgia, on the top of the mountain under an open heaven. I will see you tomorrow if the Lord says the same.